Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into another off-season edition as we roll into episode 223. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Joined alongside my co-host Blake Friars. And Blake, we are free agency. No money, it's boring.
Yeah, there's it sucks when there's no money. Hopefully this is the last off season we have to do this before the cap goes up 5% or whatever it is, five mil, four mil.
You know what though?
There won't be more signings. I mean, it's tough. I mean,
but you know what? The owners will just spend to the cap again, and then 2 years later, we'll have the same thing.
What do you mean? It's not going to be a flat cap. It's going to keep going up and up.
Well, I know it's going to keep going up. But
4 years, it might be up like 15 mil.
But they're going to keep spending where they have no money.
Sure. But at least,
and you know that
the cap's going to go up.
No, I don't know that. Television ratings plummeted last year.
Okay, well, they still made a lot for
no, but revenue, but professional sports, and I'm not just picking on hockey, but streaming
it's
is
it's because of the streamings.
Well, that's the worst thing. They said that was going to be a great thing. It's horrendous. If you're an average dude, and you're just flipping channels, you're never going to find a hockey game.
Probably not.
You're never going to find a hockey game.
Yeah.
So you have to seek it out.
Yeah.
That's a slippery slope, boy. I'll tell you what. That is a slippery slope. Because most people, they're not searching it out, man. They're just not searching out. They're not.
Yep.
Is this Erik Karlsson trade ever going to happen?
Like I told you, dude, they had their chance last year at the deadline to trade him. They want 4 first-round picks, and they're not going to retain any money. It's going to be one of the most complicated trades ever if it happens because of his salary. There's going to have to be a third team involved to retain 20% at least. So yeah, the Sharks are going to have to retain 20%. I don't know, man. No idea.
I don't know. Carey Price, was that just him clamming up, or is there more to that?
I think he just like froze up. I mean, you saw what's his name do with Philly there.
Why are we having these people make these picks? Why are we doing this? Like, what was that? Like, what was that?
It's a former fifth overall pick announcing another fifth overall pick. I mean, I see the similarity. I understand why they would do something like that.
Well, it didn't go real well because
as a 17-year-old kid, it would be pretty cool getting one of the best players in that franchise to call my name to get drafted. That, I mean, I see why they did that. It wasn't the right result. It just didn't go as planned.
I don't know. I just wonder if it doesn't show more underlying. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. I don't know. Just it seemed awkwardly weird on top of something more, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the draft was it was interesting. I mean, we were waiting to see where Michkov would have went. He was the wild card of the draft, and he ended up going to Philly. Arizona went off the board.
We're going to talk about the draft when it gets to that part, right?
No surprise.
Have you seen that new game, Tennis Baseball?
What is it called?
Tennis Baseball.
No.
It's freaking awesome.
Oh, I see a TikTok of it where you have to hit the ball with a first and pick somebody up. Yeah, I saw that actually.
That's how you pitch is with a.
That's actually pretty. Like that would be hard.
It's freaking fun to watch. I was watching it the other night. It's fun to watch.
Yeah,
it really is. Developmental camps are going, so we are getting some hockey. Junior hockey camps are in full swing. I've been watching a little bit of junior hockey, and
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting to see the developmental camps and seeing the players on the ice, and I don't really know what you get from it as a fan other than seeing hockey in the summer, but you know, it's still fun and entertaining.
Yeah, it's nice to see like your favorite team and like the guys they just drafted. It's nice to see them like for the first time. I think in a Canadian market, at least it's actually marketed like they, most teams in Canada will like tape their scrimmages and put them on YouTube and so you can watch and follow along. I mean, I'm not sure what teams do in the States.
Almost all of them do. It's no different in the States.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying like, it's good to follow along.
Yeah. It's fun, but it's just nice to have some hockey to watch. Cause yeah. This is the time of year you kind of start, more.
This is the dog days of summer, man. All you can watch is baseball.
August. And that is not fun. But August is when it really starts. The first part of August, it's like, oh boy, I could use a hockey game right now, but
yeah,
I don't know. Today we got a jam-packed issue or episode of the show. We're going to talk draft. We're going to talk trades. Free agency will go around the NHL with Nylander wanting 10+, Zadina's buyout and signing, and then Gibson controversy with the media and how that all shook down and why that happens. Let's talk draft. I don't know. Honestly, I was more excited for this draft than most drafts that I can remember, to be honest with you. I really was. And it, when the first round got over, I was like, oh, what did I just watch?
What do you mean?
There was no excitement. There was no trades.
Well, I thought there had been a couple of trades, but I mean, there's no... Nobody has cap space to make trades. I mean,
it's you were the one that was saying it was going to be exciting.
I said it would be. I thought like draft picks would have got traded, like trade down and get more picks and like whatnot, because it's such a deep draft. Like I thought teams would have traded into the first round to get a player, but it just didn't happen. I don't know. It was an exciting draft. I mean, you saw Arizona go a little bit off the board. With the 12th pick, I really like that Shemeshev at six.
A lot of scouts though, and they don't say that Arizona was off the board that much on that pick.
They're not off the board in terms of where they are ranked. Like that Bonk guy was projected to go like I think like 25, and Shemeshev was in the 15 range. So they reached a little bit, but they like their guy. They're both Russian, which is a little concerning. I mean, you don't know when they're going to come over, but I mean. That Shemeshev is good. I think he's one of the best D in the draft.
I think that was a smart pick. You know who the guy I felt the worst for after this draft was Montreal's fifth selection, and not because Carey Price forgot his name.
But it's horrible. I mean,
the fact that Montreal fans are giving him threats. I know what I would do if I was him. I'd say, your fans have spoken, and now I'm speaking. I am not signing.
Listen, I have a couple Habs buddies that hated the pick, and I'm like, dude, this guy's gonna be a stud. Like,
I would love to have that guy.
This guy, like right-handed defenseman, big, strong, can move the puck. Montreal fan. He had to delete his social media. He's getting death threats and hate comments. I mean, there is.
I would not have signed. I would not have signed.
A couple, a few Habs fans that have like. Been good to him, but it's, I don't know, man, it's brutal.
Why are we doing this in today's day and age? Why are we doing this in today's day and age where you have no idea how any of these players are going to turn out? Seriously, no idea.
Yeah.
Seriously, no idea. But our fans are doing what they're doing. It's absurd. It's embarrassing for the league. It's embarrassing for Canada.
Yeah. Hey, well, embarrassing for Canadians, not Canada. Come on. Okay. Like, let's not act like every Canadian fan base has done that shit.
No, I wouldn't say everyone has. No.
But. That's the baddest I've ever seen in a Canadian. For a draft pick? Yeah.
Maybe for a draft pick, yeah. Not for a player.
For a draft pick?
Not even close for a player.
For a 17-year-old kid, you're going to...
Yeah, for a draft pick, it's probably the one. It's probably the worst situation I've seen for a draft pick. I just don't understand what are they basing that off of? If they're so damn smart, why aren't they in the league? Like, I mean, what are they basing it off of?
You could argue that he's one of the best D in the draft.
I think he...
You could argue.
Yeah.
There's a case. Why? The fans don't like him because they don't know about him because he plays in the Swiss? Is that why? They don't have tape on him. They've never seen him play because he didn't play in the CHL. Well, is that why it's a shit pick? Like, come on. Seriously. Oh,
because he's not a Canadian and he's not a French Canadian. Let's be honest.
They can
draft all the French Canadians they want and they can be mediocre for the end of time.
Yep. No, I like the pick though. They got a really good pitch. A really good player.
So what was your thoughts on Philly's pick?
Might have got a steal of the draft. I mean, whoever got Michkov is getting the steal of the draft. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Or the biggest flop of the draft because he didn't even report to prospects. Development
that's
camp.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, Blake. If your number one pick didn't show up.
You knew the risks. Philly interviewed him multiple times. You know the risks with this player. And they felt confident enough and they felt okay with the timeline when he's going to come over that they were safe enough to take the pick. I don't have a problem with it. They had two other first round picks. So you take this guy at seven, it could be a slam dunk. You got another couple picks. I really like what Briere's doing in Philly.
They didn't have another first round pick. They had one.
They didn't?
Oliver Bonk. Yeah, one. That's it.
No, Oliver Bonk went to Arizona.
Unless my draft recap board is wrong.
He went 12 to Arizona. I think they had two firsts.
Oliver Bonk went 22nd to Philly. What are you looking at?
Who's the guy that went 12? Is his name Bonk too?
Daniel Butt.
Oh, Butt. Okay, Butt.
He's the big Russian.
Yeah, that's right.
Oliver Bonk is Radek Bonk's son, and Radek Bonk was one of the biggest flops in the history of hockey. He is. I'm not shitting you. He is. He was the hockey card to get when I was a little kid. Your Ottawa Senators, Radek Bonk, and bleh,
nothing. Yeah.
So what did you think of Vancouver's pick? Of course he's a stud, right?
I like the pick.
I heard it here first.
Listen, man, you asked me my opinion. Zip it. I wanted Benson or I wanted Wallander, right? You could have went with the hometown kid, but they already have a lot of undersized forwards. There's no right-hand D in the system. This guy is 6'1". He can skate. He defends well. And the Canucks need young D-men to come up and help this core, and I think it's a good pick. It's a safe pick.
Vancouver needed defense, and they finally did what they needed.
Yeah. They needed a defenseman. You usually go with best player available, and you could argue is Benson better best player available over him? Maybe, but I think it's pretty close. It would have been a cool story to take the local kid there.
I'm tired of cool stories in my town. I want to.
Yeah, win a cup. And listen, I like the pick. Like I said, it's a safe pick. Right hand D two. Those are hard to find, and yeah, good pick. You like the pick? I like that pick from Calgary boy.
I think he's got a good shot. I know that.
And he's big too. He's gonna grow. He's gonna fill out. Hopefully he improves his skating a little bit. And
his skating is worrisome to me a little bit, but he is developing still. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I am. I think I love big wingers. So.
Can never go wrong with size and score guys that have the touch around the net.
No, you can't. So I hope that he fills into that body, and I think he will. And I think in the end it'll be a good pick. You know, you just never know. Like I said, we can get excited about any of these picks and stuff, and we should because they're our future. But
yeah, I mean it's tough to project kids,
but it is so hard. Like I just love it, man. The draft is like. Done. It's like one day later and there's the winners and the losers. It's like, are you guys kidding me? Yeah, it's
like, how can you say that? Like you don't know a winners of the draft for like 3 years down the road.
I'm like, what are you talking about? The winners and the losers? Like, I, oh, there. What do you do? It's the way the way the hockey world works. Trades. There was and has been quite a few trades here in the last couple weeks, and I'll cruise through them. I'll name the trade off, and you give me a rundown of what you think. It started back in June 24th, and I'm gonna leave out the, I don't know what you'd consider the non-relevant ones, but I thought this one was fairly relevant. Is the LA Kings sent Shane Dursey to Arizona for a 2024 second round pick. Did this surprise you? Just because I thought Dursey was a pretty solid dude. Like, I wouldn't mind.
Well, we saw we kind of see what LA's doing here. They were
clearing cap
money. They're trying to move out money. It's a good pickup for Arizona because he's got a couple years left on his deal. He's a right-handed puck moving defenseman, and who knows, next year maybe they flip him for a first round pick at the deadline. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much his value can climb.
Well, it depends on how he plays this year. I mean, it really could climb.
It's a really good bet for Arizona. You only give up a second round pick, and I think he's 24.
Can I stop you for 1 second though? At what point is Arizona going to quit worrying about acquiring draft picks and put a freaking team on the ice?
Well, eventually, the last couple of years they've stockpiled so many picks, and now you can afford to make trades like this because you got 4 second-round picks, you can move them for some players.
They almost have to, because you can't draft that many players. You don't have enough slots for them. You only can have 50 contracts.
Yeah. So,
right? I mean, oof.
Yeah.
Another trade took place back in the 26th. Boston sends Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno to Chicago for Mitchell and Regula. Boy, was this just a cap dump, huh?
Well, no. There's different ways to look at this, okay? So cap dump. The way I look at it is this, okay? You bring in, you draft Connor Bedard, right? You got to give him some NHL vets, and you got to get him some guys that can help him score. Right, you can't just have Bedard out there and just throw him out to dry.
Like, oh, I agree.
That's how you set a kid up to fail. So you get Taylor Hall on the last year of his deal. And the thing is, say what you want, but Taylor Hall was a first overall pick too, he understands what that means in a crazy market, crazy hockey town like Edmonton and like Chicago, that he knows the pressures and all that stuff. So he's going to be there to help out Bedard in his rookie season because there's going to be a lot of pressure on the kid, right? I think it's a very smart signing. It's actually a really good move for Chicago or for Taylor Hall too, because he's in a contract year, and what better way to play with a guy like Bedard in a contract year? I mean, he could light up and score a bunch of goals with him. I'm not sure. So I like the pick. Foligno, he gets a 1 year, $4 million. They got to get to the floor. They did the same thing with Corey Perry. They gave him 1 year, $4 million. They're just getting to the cap floor and surrounding Bedard with some NHL talent. So that's and the move made sense to me, and we'll see if it pays off.
St. Louis acquires Kevin Hayes from the Philadelphia Flyers for a 6th-round pick. Now, do you agree this is a cap dump?
Yeah, this is a cap dump. It's okay. It's a really good value too. You get him, you get Kevin Hayes for what, 3.75 a year? 3.5
but don't you think he's done?
But he's worth 3.75 a year. I think he's not worth eight. But he's worth half.
Maybe. Yeah.
I still think he's got some juice left in the tank. He's what, 33?
Is that really what St. Louis is looking for though?
I don't know what St. Louis is doing. They're hard to figure out.
They're like mushy middle in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. They're Vancouver.
They had 3 first-round picks. I thought they were going to trade one of them. I didn't think they were going to draft all 3.
They're kind of like Vancouver a few years ago. It's like, well, are we going this way or are we going this way? Kind of. Well, you have to agree.
They got a little bit. They got... They kind of are similar, except Vancouver's got a better goalie. They have a pretty similar bunch. Like they got Thomas and they got Kyrou leading the way there. They still got Shen. You bring in Hayes. It's not a bad core. No. It's not a bad young core, but
this is a trade that that I saw take some criticism, and I'm not sure why. As Montreal acquires Alex Newhook for a first rounder, a second rounder, and Fairbrother. I don't know. I think Alex Newhook's a hell of a good prospect.
It's a player. I mean, this is a trade that Montreal literally just made last year. They traded Romanov and the 13th overall pick for Kirby Doc. This is exactly what they did last year.
And it was
a good bet for him, right? So,
but Romanov was a guy that I thought they should have kept.
Yeah, but they got an influx amount of defense on the back end. They're young. You have a chance to get a 21-year-old center that's 6'4". That's tough to pass up on.
Yeah.
Now you get a guy in here. He's still only 22. It seems like this guy's been in the league for 4 years. He's only 22.
Alex, right?
It's not like he's 27 years old.
No.
This guy's still got lots of potential. I don't like using that word because that word really means nothing. Potential means really nothing. But, this could be a really good pickup for Montreal. Really good pickup.
Then the big one dropped, and I call this the big one just because I don't know if I was shocked. I mean, I guess I was a little shocked, but Pierre-Luc Dubois heads to the Kings for a second rounder and a trio of pretty good hockey players in Kaprija, Iafallo, and Vilardi. And I think Winnipeg did pretty darn good for having zero leverage.
Pretty damn good? This is a grand slam. It's a grand slam. What the hell is the Kings doing? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Iafallo is a good vet.
Yeah.
Good leader in that room, right? He had 20 plus goals. Okay. Vilardi is a right hand centerman, 2 years younger than Dubois, and had four less goals than Dubois. Dubois is nothing more than a 60-point power forward. That's what he is. What his ceiling is. 60 points.
Who does he think he is, though? Who is he to be firing off these requests and these? Like, how long is he going to be happy in L.A.? Like,
listen, hang on. Let's just think about this. He's been in the league for what? 5 years? It's his third team.
Demanded trades from everybody. Demanded
trades out of two markets already. Now he goes and signs a 7-year, 8-year deal in LA.
Yeah.
I don't know.
8 years.
I'm not sure. I really love this deal for Winnipeg because they get Vilardi, they get another young player, and they get Iafallo who can play in their top six. For a guy that didn't want to play there, I think they did pretty good.
Oh, I agree. That's why I thought that I look at this trade as kind of the big. I look at this as the biggest trade we've had in this offseason. I really do. I think the Jets did amazingly well for where what they had. They had no leverage.
It's like we looked at with the Calgary trade, right? Calgary didn't have any leverage last year with Tkachuk, and they turned into Huberto and Uyghur. You didn't get much return on the trade this year, but see what happens.
Still undetermined. Let's talk Calgary as they sent Tyler Toffoli to the New Jersey Devils for Igor Sharankovich in a third rounder.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a depth move.
What do you mean a depth move? Confused.
I don't know. Like,
he had like three less goals than Toffoli 2 years ago. He's 5 years younger, 6 years younger. Can play both the right side and the left side.
Yeah.
A great penalty killer.
He had 2 years ago? He had that big year.
I think
that was his first year.
Big year. I mean, I think
he had
28.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider it a big year, but I mean.
Well, I mean, I thought Calgary could have done a little better.
With what? Like leverage?
Toffoli just had a career high in points. This is his most goals he's scored in the last 3 years.
How many teams though? Just let me preface this though. How many teams want to sign up to sign a 33-year-old winger to a 6-year deal? Because that's what he wants. He says
he's not getting 6 years. Okay. He's getting four.
Okay,
maybe three.
How many? Well. he isn't going to sign there because someone's going to give him it.
He's going to get three.
So there's an, I mean, what's the odds that he even signs in New Jersey?
Probably not very high.
We got a pretty good player and a third round pick. You know, for...
Actually, I shouldn't say that because he is a guy who's won cups, and that's a pretty young team. That's a good guy to have in that room.
Yeah, I agree. And I like Toffoli. But when guys his age are demanding long-term things, that's not good for most teams. Some teams, they can work with it if they don't have a lot of that. But, I mean, I don't know.
Put him on a line with Jack Hughes and Timo Meier, I think he'll fit in just fine.
Oh, he's going to put up points. No doubt about it. But I do believe that last year was a one-off.
I don't know. He's been a consistent 30-goal guy.
Yeah, but I've said last year was a one-off.
For points, maybe, yeah. Yes. For goals, probably not.
We'll see.
Yeah.
The Edmonton Oilers dumped some players, Yamamoto and Costin, to Detroit for future considerations. I know Detroit was all over wanting Costin. I think they had to take Yamamoto in the deal. They ended up buying him out. Let's go through and see what other major ones.
So Yamamoto went to Seattle, right? They didn't keep him. They didn't keep Yamamoto. He went to Seattle. They extended Costin to a 2-year
deal. They bought out Yamamoto, though, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did buy him out. That's right.
Seattle.
Yeah, that's right.
Anthony Duclair traded from Florida to San Jose for Lorenz and a fifth rounder. I think Anthony Duclair's, whatever, I guess.
He's a good like third liner.
Yeah. You just never know what you're going to get from him. He has not been consistent. And then the trade that broke yesterday, Alex DeBrincat heads from Ottawa to Detroit for Kubalek, Sarenbrenko, a conditional 2024 conditional first round pick and a 2024 fourth round pick. Detroit gets a good player here, but what's your thoughts on why is Alex DeBrincat being shuffled all over the place?
Yeah, he's a 40-goal guy. Like, I don't...
So there's something there, right?
Ottawa offered him 8x8, and he obviously didn't want to stay there. That's the obvious why he didn't extend that. But is Detroit much better than Ottawa?
I would rather live in Ottawa.
I'm not even talking about living. I'm talking about the team.
I actually like Ottawa. I like Ottawa a lot. Ottawa's
core is way better than Detroit's, no?
I like Ottawa's. I like what's coming up in Ottawa. I really do.
You got a young goalie, right? You got a young core that's all signed long-term. I'm not sure why he wouldn't want to be a part of that.
I would. I think Ottawa's headed in the right. They're headed. I mean, I think Detroit's headed in the right direction too, but I think Ottawa's going to get there quicker.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good pickup for Detroit. I'm not sure the direction of Detroit, what they're doing. Like the last couple of years, they made a couple of questionable decisions, but, yeah, I don't know. It's a good pickup for them, though, for sure.
Detroit signs Clem Costin to a 2-year, $2 million contract. There's a barrage of contracts to talk about on free agency. I'm only going to bring up the big ones, and we'll get your response on those. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, 1 year, $2.25 million in Florida. I was not surprised at all with this.
No, he's going to – I bet you he goes all over there and plays fine on the third pair. I mean, that's the defenseman that he is. He's a third pair defenseman. He's not a top pairing defenseman like Vancouver brought in to be. And he's making $2 million. He's going to go hide in Florida, and nobody's going to talk about him.
Yep.
That's why he went there.
Antti Raanta signs with Carolina, 1 year, $1.5 million. Was this a surprise for you?
Not really. I mean, they brought back both those guys. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I agree. I think he's good. I have no problem with that. Ryan O'Reilly, 4 years, $4.5 million in Nashville. I don't think anybody saw that one.
This is one that threw me off. Okay. Toronto offered him the same deal and he didn't stay there. What does that tell you about Toronto?
Oh, there's a lot there's going to be a book.
Like the old country club with Toronto. That's what that tells me.
There's going to be a book about this Toronto team.
I'm saying like the core
yeah.
four.
Yeah. This is a country.
There has to be.
This is okay. Who was I hearing? I was listening to somebody talk yesterday, the day before I was driving home, and they were talking about how some teams, the locker room is a group where they hang out and they're friends. The whole team is. And then there's other ones where you just have your little groups. You know, yeah. pairs or whatever. And that's what I bet you $100 strong.
He's an older guy too, so you don't know like if he didn't fit in with that young group. I'm not sure. But it's very interesting what Nashville is doing. Like they dump Johansson off to Colorado. Then they bring in O'Reilly. They gave Luke Shen $2.75 million. The guy hasn't got over $900,000 the last 5 years. A year, like I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell the direction they're going here.
But, you know what? I would dare bet you a lot of teams offered numbers like that for Shen.
$2.75 million a year? I doubt it.
Oh, I think so.
Maybe 1.5 to 2 mil max.
I think you might be surprised.
He hasn't made over 800K
doesn't
in
matter.
A year in 5 years. There's no cap space.
It doesn't matter, though. He's proving to be a solid, solid defenseman.
Yeah, he went to Vancouver and he reinvented his career. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. He was in the AHL and maybe the East Coast League, grinded it out, and Vancouver brought him back, and he's resurrected his career. It's good for him. I'm happy. That's a lot of money he got. That's great.
This is a wild one, I thought. Ryan Reeves, 3 years, $1.35 million in Toronto. This one made me laugh.
Oh, man. This guy is about $500,000 overpaid and about 2 years too many. How does a 37-year-old get 3 years? What?
In Toronto.
Okay, listen. It's going to be a good personality for the locker room. And
well, is he been brought in to break this core up?
He might ruffle some feathers and go in there and ruffle some feathers up. Maybe. But nobody wants to fight this guy. So but
fighting is so irrelevant now.
No, but I'm saying nobody wants to mess with Reeves. He's the toughest guy in the league. There's no denying that. Okay. He's the toughest guy in the league. If anybody runs at Matthews or Marner, that's what he's there for. He's there for some protection.
Is anybody running Matthews and Marner now?
I've seen him take it. Matthews got ran at a couple times last year, and the Leafs didn't do anything. Remember when Giordano had to tackle that guy, and Matthews was just standing there doing nothing against Philly last year or 2 years ago?
Well, yeah, I remember that.
Just saying, like that. Now you got somebody in there that'll start some shit.
But if they're the ones that are the problems in the locker room, and Ryan Reeves comes in, and they're still the problems, I don't know.
Let's talk about this for a second, okay? What does they're $10 million over the cap right now? Muzzin's going to go on LTIR for $5 million.
Murray will too.
Murray, it depends.
No, he's no. It doesn't depend whether he's. Well,
if he passes his physical, he can't go to LTIR.
They will not. They will tell the doctors he is not passing the physical.
Okay, he's gonna go to Robben Island then. I don't know. That's bullshit that they can do that.
Well, I don't think they're the only team doing it.
Fail a person's physical on purpose. That's bullshit.
I don't. You think that it would happen in Tampa and Vegas?
They did it with Lupo.
I'll name you another player that it happened to, Marian Hossa.
Well, he's allergic to equipment, eh?
Hey, yeah. Jonathan Quick signs in New York. I don't even know what this is all about.
It's a good backup for Shesterkin. If Shesterkin goes down, that's a guy that can get step in. He's been a reliable starter for a while.
Couple more goalies. Frederick Anderson, Carolina, gets 2 years, 3.4. I thought that was super, super good. And another super one smart. I liked, Cam Talbot, gets 2 years, 1 year, $1 million in L.A.
LA, yeah. Yeah, it's they're going to roll with Phoenix, Copley, and Talbot as a tandem. Yeah, it's a good tandem.
How about the Dmitry Orlov to Carolina? 2 years, 7.75.
Smart, savvy move for the Canes, right? And he wants to win a cup. That's why he signed this deal. Carolina couldn't give him anything more than 2 years. Their window is about 2 to 3 years with this core in Carolina. I still think they need one more scorer, but we'll see. I'm not sure.
Milan Lucic, 1 year, $1 million in Boston.
It's not a bad contract at all. Listen, there's no such thing as bad 1 year deals. I've been telling you this for what? Is this year six of the podcast? I've been saying this.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Hey, listen, if he sucks, you send him down and you bury him and it costs you $200,000.
They won't do that though to Milan Lucic in Boston. They won't do that. Well, they won't. They won't do that.
It's not like he signed a 1 year, $6 million AAV. It's $1 million.
They're good. I know the 20 games in, you know, Boston fans are going to be puking in their mouth.
We'll see.
They are. Max Pacioretty, 1 year, $2 million in Washington. Radko Gudas, this one made me laugh. 3 years, $4 million per in Anaheim. What is that all about?
Who are we talking about? Sorry, Killorn?
Radko Gudas.
Oh, Radko Gudas, yeah. it pays to be right-handed, eh, for the defenseman, eh? That's what that is. He had a good showing in the finals. He showed that he can play in the top four. Not sure the direction that Anaheim's going in. But good for Radko Gudas, picking up $4 million for 3 years.
Carson Soucy, 3 years, 3.25 in Vancouver.
Yeah. A little bit of a gamble here that you're betting that Soucy can play in the top four, which I think he can. He showed that in Seattle that he can play top 4 minutes. He was ranked the seventh best penalty killer for the back end, and he had the fifth most time on ice for the penalty kill. Him and Ian Cole come over to Vancouver. Yeah, 1 year for Ian Cole at $3 million. I think it was a very smart and non-reckless free agency for Vancouver. We didn't see them going crazy on term. It was refreshing to see a couple one-year terms, and then you went the 3 years with Soucy. That's good. Their defense has been so bad, Brad. It's been so poor. Now you bring a couple guys in here that are good defenders. They're really good penalty kill. The Canucks had the worst penalty kill in NHL history last year. These two D are going to help. Teddy Bluger is going to help too. Third line center. He's a good penalty killer. I like the moves. I don't have a problem with any of them. They were smart for once and not reckless, which has not been the case the last 7 years.
Matt Duchene signs in Dallas, 1 year, $3 million.
Yeah, this is a good move for Dallas. I mean, they're trying to get.
Are they trying to get older?
But is he that old?
I don't know. He's 32 years old. I don't know. I mean, what do you consider old anymore? I don't know anymore.
I mean, they got him for half retained too.
I know.
They bought the Nashville bought him out and then they signed him to that contract. So
I don't know. I don't know. I just think, you know, they already have the old guys. Like, wouldn't you infuse them with some young talent to make a run? Or are you just going to keep throwing old reloads in?
I mean, Duchene's been a proven goal scorer. I mean, he's fast. He's still got time left.
We'll see. John Klingberg gets 1 year, 4.15 in Toronto.
This is not the D they needed. This guy was atrocious last year. Absolutely atrocious. He's going to play on the second pair of TJ Brody, which is fine. But really? This is who you chose for your top four on the right side? I'd rather sign fucking Radko Gudas. At least he's going to hit somebody.
No, I wouldn't rather sign Gudas, but I know I'm with you. I I don't know. There's a lot of underwhelming, you know, contracts, and I don't know. We talked about. I think some. It was a weird free agency just because there was such limited cap space. It just really cramped it up, and it made it really difficult. So, all in all, interesting. We'll see how it all plays out. It is time to go around the NHL. All right, like, this is gonna be a fast forward version, okay?
Yeah.
Nylander wants 10 plus million to stay in Toronto. Toronto's offering 8 million. What happens?
They have to move him. They have to trade him.
Who wants him?
Listen, you know what I do? If I was Toronto, I would trade Samsonov and Nylander to the Anaheim Ducks for John Gibson.
Yeah, but does he sign in Anaheim?
He's what? Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because they suck.
They're a young team, though. They're gotta get better sometime.
So after Nylander has been on a team that's expected to win the cup the last few years, he's gonna want to go and play in Anaheim, and he has leverage.
I don't know.
This is going to be the trickiest trade of all time.
It is, because he's going to want, nobody has cap to sign him.
And he, and I know this family, they will not back down. They're not backing down. I know this family.
Would you take him in Calgary?
No.
He's from Calgary. Come on, bring him home.
Soft as butter.
He is soft as shit. He doesn't go in the corners.
I would be irate if he went to Calgary. And I don't think he's signing in. I don't think he's signing in Calgary. Even if they did get him.
That, like, what do you think of the value, though? Like, for that trade I proposed? Like,
the value is legitimate. Like, it makes sense if he signs there.
Right.
But I don't think he's signing there.
Like, I think that is the type of goalie that Toronto needs badly.
For sure, but they would wreck him too.
Like, had to.
Oh, I don't know. What the hell's going on with Zadina? So they buy him out.
Yeah, hold on. Not there's nothing what's going on with Zadina. Zadina gets a lot of props here. From me, at least.
Okay, well, fill me in. I want to hear.
Filip Zadina forwent $4.2 million of salary. Just swiped it clean so he can stay playing in the NHL, because he got put on waivers. Nobody wanted to, because what it was, he was owed 1.5 this year and then 3 million the following second year. That's why nobody claimed him on waivers. His cap hit's 1.2, but actual money owed, like how much comes out of the owner, it's like $4.2 million. So he forfeited $4.2 million to get rid of his contract.
The actual amount was 4.56, but
yes. Oh yeah, 4.56. So yeah, still 4.56. He scrapped that, and he ends up signing a 1-year deal with San Jose to stay in the NHL. He didn't want to go down to the minors and play in Grand Rapids, and he said, okay, like, this is my best shot. Is I'm going to terminate my contract, forego $4 million. I'm going to bet on myself that I can go to San Jose and get my career back on track. I have so much respect for him that he did that.
I know, but why is he struggling so much?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's more
High pick. He was drafted a pick ahead of Quinn Hughes, who played in Detroit's backyard. Oh, my God.
Well, everybody would have picked that. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, but he was supposed to go anywhere from 2 to 6, right? Yeah. Like, they were talking about Montreal grabbing him at 3, and they ended up picking Kotkaniemi, right? So,
which is about an equal pick here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. That'll be an interesting story to follow over the years. Yeah. John Gibson, we just talked about him. So Frank Zarabelli comes out and says that John Gibson says he plays his last game as an Anaheim Duck. But then John Gibson's agent comes out and said, no, he never said that. John Gibson goes to Anaheim and says, no, I never said that. What's going on here? Is Frank Cervelli just...
So hold on. Did you see what Frank Cervelli replied back to that response? Absolutely buried the guy again.
He said, hey, Kurt, do you remember the last time you attempted to claim my reporting was false? All the best. Which is awesome.
Mic drop. You can't, if you're the agent, no reply to that tweet. Mic drop. Done. Roasted. Done. You can't come back from that.
It was...
He just threw you under the water.
So who is wrong here? Did Gibson say that? Or is Cervelli getting ahead of himself like he's kind of been known to do?
A lot of shit gets taken out of context with quotes and podcasts. And like, we could put a quote out and you have to, maybe not word for word, but like, maybe you got to go back to and actually listen to the context rather than just read it.
Yes, I'm with you. I know, I agree.
Like, he could have been saying that tongue in cheek, he's never going to play a game in Anaheim again.
So did Cervelli not say it that way, or...
Maybe I think maybe he was just tongue in cheek.
I don't know, man. It's a weird, weird situation though that created some controversy in the media, and I don't know. I thought it was interesting, and I feel like it hurt the credibility of Frank Cervelli, and I hope it does. I really like listening to him. I do think he gets ahead of himself a little bit, doesn't have the credibility that like Elliot Friedman does. But he's got some interesting stuff and some interesting thoughts, and I do really, really like listening to him.
Yep.
Okay, it is time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, I fired three questions at Blake. It is his turn tonight. Fire away. Why do you start every three questions with that?
I don't know. Okay, what was the best signing of free agency?
Dylan Sandberg.
Are you lying?
I do think that is a pretty good one though, actually. I do think that is a good one. I don't know. I never thought of that. I think I liked the Tyler Bertuzzi 1 year, 5.5. That's a tough question because there's a buttload of them and there's no like major off the charts. That's a great deal. You know what? I think it's a hell of a good deal, and I really wanted my team to sign him. Nick Buke said getting $2.1 million in Arizona.
Yeah, good for him too.
But that's I still consider that a value.
Yeah,
I like
good third
it.
Line
I like,
center, good third line center.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. What was the contract besides Reeves? You already talked about that. You looked and said, "What the hell is this?"
Radko Gudas.
Yeah,
I mean, it's more. Oh, another one, and this might not be bad, but Sorokin getting 8.25 for 8 years for a goalie. It's like, oh, and I love him. He's a great goalie. He's a top three in the league right now. But oof. I don't like giving any goalie that long a term.
He is one of the few that I would give that much money to. I usually don't go that high and that much AAV with goalies, but I'll make an exception for him. He's like Vasilevsky. He's a star.
I know he is.
He's a top five goalie in the league.
I just said he's top three.
It's a good news. That's good news for old Connor Hellebuck. Oh boy.
Well, I don't think Connor Hellebuck's getting that term.
No, he's not going to do that term, but he's going to get that much money.
Maybe.
Connor Hellebuck's agent is licking his chops right now.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, we're signing that 5 year, 8.5 AAV. Okay, right. What is there a player that you're surprised that hasn't been signed, and who do you think is the best player available on the market?
Oh, I would have to look at the list here.
Is it Tarasenko?
No.
No?
No, I don't. I don't. I why do I feel that way about him, though?
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel like that. You know, I wondered a little bit about Troy Terry.
He's an RFA, right?
He is an RFA.
Yeah. Listen, are you surprised?
Here, let me look here. Let me look. Okay. I always wonder why this guy's never, or what's ever going to happen with him. What's ever going to happen with Matt Dumba?
Yeah, he just hasn't been good the last couple of years, so teams are scared to give him term. He's going to sign a one-year deal. You're seeing how that with a lot of these players signing one-year deals because they know the cap's going to go up. Right?
Is Parisi done? Is Taze done?
Taze is going to the Oilers.
Oh, I don't think so.
1 year, $750,000. Third line center, good leader, perfect. That might help him get over the hump.
They still got to stop the puck.
If he can play.
They still got to stop the puck.
Skinner's a good goalie. He's young, too. He's going to keep building.
He would be better if he get rid of that mustache.
Yeah, that's true. yeah.
All right.
Let's see.
I don't have a list for questions, but I got two trivias for you. And they're not really
trivias. Oh, what's the listener question?
I don't have one. I said I have two trivia questions.
What the heck, man? That's your own job.
This is better. It's off season. I don't get listener. I don't dive in for listener questions in the off season. Okay. Who are the fastest five players in NHL history to 800 career points?
800 career points?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Wayne Gretzky.
He did it in 352.
Okay. Sidney Crosby.
No.
Really?
No.
Connor McDavid.
He did it in 545. He's the fifth.
Mario Lemieux.
He did it second in 410.
Okay, so I got three of the five.
Yep.
Mark Messier.
No. I don't think you're getting these two. You want me to read them to you?
What era did they play in?
They played in the Wayne Gretzky era. A little before the Wayne Gretzky era.
Oh, Howard Chuck?
No. Mike Bossy, 525, and Peter Stastny, 531. Interesting.
I should have got the Bossy one. I don't think I would have got the Stastny one.
I wouldn't have got
Sid isn't on that list.
No, he's not. All right, here's the second part. Who are the five NHL franchises with the highest winning percentages? I want
In the last how many years?
All time winning percentage. All time winning percentage. I need the top five.
Okay, Montreal.
They're a .581. They're second. If you Chicago? Get these five right, I will do the next show without a shirt on.
Chicago?
No. Chicago is where the hell is Chicago even at?
Okay, hold on. Is Toronto on
Chicago
there?
Is not even in the top half.
Okay, is Toronto in there?
No. Toronto is no. They were shitty for like two decades. No, they're not even in the top half.
Okay, hang on. Tampa Bay?
They're not even in the top half.
Holy fuck, Pittsburgh?
No, you're getting closer. They're on the top half, but they're not. They're at the bottom of the top half.
Fuck.
You're not
okay. Boston. Hold on, Boston.
Boston's there. They're fourth with .567.
Yeah, I got two of the five. Let me get this. I want to see without a shirt on the pod.
You didn't get it in five guesses, Blake. You don't get to guess until the end of time.
Is the Rangers on there?
The Rangers are on there, but they're not on the first page either.
Fuck.
You got to remember, those kind of teams have played so many games.
I'm just thinking of the original six.
Yeah, but the original six is hard. There's only...
Oh, fuck. Is Seattle on there?
No, Seattle's dead second. They're almost the last. They're the third to last because they had 1 year where they were awful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Vancouver's definitely not on
there. They are fourth worst.
Zip it.
All time.
Quiet. Where's Calgary? Where's Calgary?
Sixth best.
Sixth best.
They are. Calgary has been had a lot of great teams that didn't win.
Yeah, same with my team.
No, your team is fourth worst, Blake.
A lot of good teams that haven't won.
But you had so many horrible teams. They're fourth worst. Only teams worse.
The last 8 years have done a number on that list. Or zip it. Take the 8 years out, we're probably fifth.
Do you know who the five worst are? Arizona's the worst.
Buffalo?
No. Buffalo's in the first page, dude. They're like eighth.
Really? Ninth.
Okay, it's Arizona, Columbus, Seattle, Vancouver, and New Jersey are the worst five.
New Jersey.
They're the worst five.
All those good teams in the 2000s.
They are the fifth worst, Blake. I just said that. I just read that off. I'll name you. Number one is the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Highest winning percentage. Fuck. Number two is Montreal Canadiens. Number three is Philadelphia Flyers. Number four is the Boston Bruins, which you got that one. And number five is the Minnesota Wild.
Really?
Yep. Number six is Nashville. Number seven is Calgary. Number eight is St. Louis. Number nine is Colorado. Number 10 is Washington. 11 is Buffalo. 12 is Detroit. 13 is Anaheim. 14 is Edmonton. 15 is San Jose. 16 is Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Crazy. I saw that and I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this on the show because Blake's going to be shocked. Because I was shocked. I did.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming, man. I didn't see it.
No.
I didn't see it.
It's good. It's a good pod.
All right. It's an escape from hockey now. We're not coming back till July 30th. This is the time of year where people go golfing, hang out with family, relax, have a little fun. But next time we
shot a 46. I shot a 46 yesterday.
It's pretty good.
36. It's not bad.
That's not bad for Blake Friars. The other day when I played, I could have
been out 24 rounds. Still waiting for an invite to go to Varden in Minot.
Yeah, we might have to do that. Okay.
Still waiting for that invite.
Next episode, we're going to play a game called Yes, No, Maybe. It's going to be fun.
Yes, No, Maybe for what?
Yeah, you'll find out.
What's the context? What's the context?
It's all hockey stuff. I ask a question, you say yes, no, or maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, hockey fans, relax. Enjoy the summer. It's going to be a good one. Before you know it, we're back watching hockey, talking hockey, and going to hockey games. Have a good summer. And we'll be back in July 30th. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.